From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day about the one GOP race for the Texas Supreme Court. I answer good listener club member questions on the race against Court Justice John Devine. Also comment on the Court of Criminal Appeals races as well. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with the drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Texas was before the U.S. Supreme Court today to defend our law stopping, quote, censorship, end quote, by big tech on social media. I'll explain the case. Operational failures put Post's private prison, the Dolby unit, in danger as Tarrant County today votes to pull its prisoners out. I think they got 500 of them there. Texas manufacturing stabilized this month, and today the Federal Trade Commission filed suit to stop the Kroger takeover of Albertsons, which includes the United family based in Lubbock. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Don't forget that podcast extra with Chip Polk at the Ragtown Gospel Theater from last week. That is just a very interesting interview about how this great theater and tradition came about. This year they're in their 18th season. All right, let's get with this big story. I haven't seen a single whiff of it in Lubbock media this afternoon. But the big story reported by WFAA is that Tarrant County commissioners voted last week to terminate a contract. I thought they did it today. They voted last Wednesday, so even worse that local media doesn't have it, to contract terminate their contract with the Dolby Correctional Center in Garza County. They're in Post. They have almost 500 inmates there. They're going to bring them back by September to Fort Worth. Now, one of their towers of their jail is closed for renovations right now, and they're trying to get them done by March, and the other three towers have to have the same, and they're hoping they can get all this done. It says in the story in the Dallas Morning News, or WFAA, excuse me, by Paul Wedding, they're banking on completion ahead of schedule if contractors don't finish early. The inmates could be stuck in a hot facility with no state-compliant jail to transfer to, but commissioners said they'd rather risk that than leave the inmates at Dolby in Post, which failed six aspects of a state inspection in December. Among the violations, jailers failed to regularly check on vulnerable inmates, failed to take mandated safety training sessions, failed to transfer an inmate who requested medical attention only available outside the facility, and others. Now, that... The company since corrected all the violations noted in the state inspection, according to records at the Texas Commission on Jail Standards. Management and Training Corporation in Utah runs the Dolby facility. They claim the county judge, Tim O'Hare in Tarrant County, says that they didn't notify Tarrant County when they flunked the inspection, and that's a violation of their contract with Tarrant County. Judge O'Hare said it's simply unacceptable. In total, Tarrant County has spent about 40 million housing prisoners at the facility in Post. Commissioner in Tarrant County Roy Brooks said, "I'm certainly for us getting the heck out of Garza. The question is, how quickly can we do it and how do we mitigate the risk?" So this is another, you know, this thing almost closed and they did this. This is another big slap, and it appears it's the management company's fault. They didn't take care of things, then had to correct them, and then didn't tell their biggest customer that the problems existed and that they had failed the inspection. And Fort Worth, Tarrant County, going to pull their near 500 prisoners housed at the Giles Dolby Correctional Center in Garza County. By the way, it's a prison or a jail. They don't correct people in these places. Just another leftist misuse of language and all your local county governments calling it the correctional center. They don't correct anybody. That just costs more money for those aluminum letters that go on the building. It's the Texas Commission on Jail Standards. It's a jail, and in the statutes, it's a county jail. Just call it a jail. What is it? Why do you pick this career, you sheriffs and people, if you're embarrassed of the wording? You sound like the janitors that wanted to, that in New York got to be called building engineers. Never mind, they don't do any engineering. They're not licensed engineers. It's just stupid. It's a jail. So they got big problems there in Garza County and Post, again, with the privately run prison complex named after Mr. Dolby. Other big news out there today, breaking today, the Federal Trade Commission today filed their formal lawsuit now after this has been going on for, what, a year, year and a half, 2 years, the Kroger. 2022 is when they proposed this takeover of Albertsons. And they've spent, Kroger spent, they say, $222 million on this proposed acquisition. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, has sued to block this largest merger in supermarket history in the U.S., alleging it's anti-competitive. They've issued an administrative complaint saying that it believed the law was being violated and authorized a lawsuit in federal court to block the proposed merger. The commission's vote was 3-0. Kroger and Albertsons tried to secure approval by proposing to sell several hundred stores, including a bunch in Texas, and distribution centers and brands to CNS Wholesale Grocers. The FTC says they're inadequate. I don't know what a bunch of government people are have any expertise. I'm not for this merger, period. But I'm not a fan of Kroger. But nevertheless, the government officials are not qualified to decide whether the CNS Wholesale Grocers could run this. They actually claim that the CNS had faced significant obstacles to stitching together the various parts and pieces from Kroger's and Albertsons and function into a functioning business, let alone be a successful competitor. Well, again, government bureaucrats don't know that. But there's a lot about the left is upset. Biden administration thinks Kroger and Albertsons are the two largest union grocery union shops in the country. It's not an issue where I live, but it is nationwide, and unions are all involved in this stuff. And Kroger claims that this will make food prices higher if we don't let them merge, which I think is beyond laughable. They're arguing that non-unionized retailers like Walmart, Costco, and Amazon will be strengthened. Well, those grocers have already been growing in market share, so maybe it says that being unionized is the problem. They're Kroger people and Albertsons people up in Boise. But the fact is, strong regional grocers have been expanding as well without having a national footprint, which sort of pulls the rug out from under their claim that you got to have this new mega corporation to compete. HEB is merely a regional. They're one of those profitable, but you have so many others that are just really good companies, including in Texas. I mean, Brookshire's and others. And United used to be one of the standouts till they were sold to Albertsons. Still pretty much run on their own, but of course under the corporate rules and policies of Albertsons. But interesting, big news there. The Texas manufacturing activity report is out from the Dallas Fed, and I guess it's the most positive we've seen, but that's not saying much in a while. Texas manufacturing activity stabilized in February after contracting in January. But they said there was stability, but there was a little bit of an increase in demand, but perceptions of the executives of the broader business conditions continued to worsen this month, and wage and input costs continued to increase while selling prices remained flat. We're right back into that 1970s economy stuff, and that's what happens when the old Democrats that don't believe in the markets and want to try to run everything get us in this inflationary cycle, up and down, up and down. It's just roller coaster. All right, my friends, we have a ton of other news to get to on the program today, including to answer many questions I've received about some of the court races.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Do you have a commercial property for sale or lease? Tired of a for sale sign gathering dirt, storm, dust in front of your place with no activity and no prospects? Office, retail, restaurant, or industrial? Call me, Carl Tepper, a commercial agent with Exit Realty of Lubbock. I'm low on inventory because I've sold and leased everything. I'll get your property sold too. Call me, Carl Tepper, at 806-470-2354 for an no-obligation appointment. That's 806-470-2354.
Many have heard my Pratt on Texas broadcast from the offices of Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica. Over a decade, many listeners have acted to save money while getting the highest level of dental care available. I'm not kidding about the trip being like a free vacation. In many cases, two of you can fly, stay, dine, shop, and take adventures to beaches, rainforests, volcanoes, and more, and have top quality dental work done for less than just the dental work for only one person at home. Turn that unpleasant expense into a memorable adventure. Click on the dental care banner at prattontexas.com.
Concealed carry isn't just a statement. It's a lifestyle. Pratt on Texas continues.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Both Biden and Trump are going to be on the Texas border with Mexico on Thursday. Biden's going down to Brownsville, no doubt to help with these challenges to Democrats there by Republicans as well. And he's going to have a big deal telling about why we should give him tons more money to continue with his giant catch and release program. And Trump's going to be up at Eagle Pass. All this on Thursday. That'll be quite a spectacle. And of course, what does Biden want more of? Well, he wants that Senate bill so that he can do more of what resulted, I guess, in this student's death at the university in Georgia, University of Georgia. Off the press reporting, the wife of Jose Antonio Ibarra, the 26-year-old illegal immigrant from Venezuela who police arrested Friday for the murder of nursing student Lakin Riley, 22, at University of Georgia, revealed in a Saturday interview that the couple originally married with the goal of furthering their case for asylum in the U.S. Franco told the New York Post that she and Jose entered the U.S. illegally through Texas, through El Paso, with her 5-year-old son, and she said that Jose earned money delivering food for Uber Eats, DoorDash, and a local restaurant. His wife told the Post that they got married so we could join our asylum cases. So it's just more of this scamming the whole thing. Immigration experts say the end of the Remain in Mexico policy enacted under former President Trump and rescinded by Biden has led to a sharp increase in asylum cases by individuals who enter the country illegally, which, by the way, should make them completely ineligible for such. And then they're released into the U.S. And this is what Biden wants to defend. He wants more money so he can continue to do this kind of thing. Folks, you don't want to miss 33 AD, the new original drama by Chip Polk, going to be staged at the Ragtown Gospel Theater as the first play of this season, the 2024 season, their 18th year of presenting these great dramas based upon the Bible. 33 AD, about Pontius Pilate, Barabbas, the centurion, and Joseph of Arimathea. Going to be a great time. All shows are 3 p.m. on Saturdays. Be at Post Texas up on at the beautiful Ragtown Gospel Theater, which you'll be shocked by. Go learn all about it. See it at ragtown.com, my friends. About an hour of gospel music, intermission, then the play. See, about 2.5 hours for the whole thing. Get plenty of time to get there and then plenty of time to make it home across the region that evening. You need to make reservations soon so you can get the best seats. Group of 12 or more receive a 25% discount. And you can find all the details at Ragtown, RAGTOWN.com. If you want to know why it's called Ragtown, listen to that podcast extra I did with Chip. First show is Texas Independence Day this Saturday, March 2nd. Be sure you're flying your Texas flags on Saturday, folks. And then the last show will be April 20th, the eve of victory. That's right, 21st of April is San Jacinto Day. Tickets are only $22 each. Children and youth, students only $10, and veterans and active duty military are free. So get with them, my friends. You don't want to miss 33 AD. Get signed up now. Get your trip planned. You got friends. I'm going to take friends. Get that set up now. Ragtown.com. All right, my friends, I told you Friday when they were all cheering the landing of the privately built moon lander by Intuitive Machines of Houston, that, oh, it's great, it's a success. And I said, no, we don't fully know They did land it, and we got some signals, but we don't know. Well, it turns out, just like Japan's and others that have tried, it didn't work right. They just have problem with lateral positioning, landing, and it's tipped over, and they think it's not going to get money, and it'll be done maybe by tomorrow or so, by tomorrow morning, that it won't be able to work. Slim, the Japanese lander that also landed improperly, but is functioning as well, it luckily tilted where it's getting power, and it survived the extreme cold of lunar night. Bob Zimmerman reporting on that at BehindTheBlack.com. So everybody's failing on that part of landing, but the big celebrations were, as I hinted and said last week, a little bit too soon. Students shot in the parking lot of Odessa High School. KOSA reporting today that this lockdown, they locked down the school this morning. Student was shot in the foot and taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The shooter fled, the police believe, and they let school students out at 11:30 in Odessa. Wildfire burned 4,000 acres south of Dumas in Moore County in the Panhandle. The Forest Service says it is now 100% contained. Sunday afternoon wildfire in the woods in southeast Texas in Jasper County set down a bunch of roads for several hours on Sunday afternoon. It was just west of Kirbyville. You probably saw this U.S. service member, an airman, Air Force service member, who immolated himself outside the embassy, the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., spouting all this extreme woke stuff and leftist stuff and you know, anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli, pro-Palestine, Palestinian stuff or whatever. I guess pro-Hamas, because those people elected Hamas as their government in an election. He immolated himself. Turns out he is an airman based in San Antonio, we have learned, Aaron Bushnell. Former Mathis Police Chief Scott Roush facing 9 counts of felony evidence tampering. And this had to do with drugs that had gone missing from the station's evidence locker, and he was the only one with the key. This coming to us from KIII in Corpus Christi. A Tyler lawyer's been arrested on theft charges. KETK says Bruce Bain, 56, it's alleged that, you know, people gave him money and settlement stuff, and it's supposed to be in a trust account, but that he transferred money out of that for other things. Off-duty Georgetown firefighter has been arrested in a Kansas hostage situation that took place about a week ago. He was an off-duty firefighter in Georgetown, Texas. Tom Honatas Pereira, 41. 17 counts, including kidnapping, aggravated assault, aggravated burglary, and endangering a child, disorderly conduct, and criminal restraint. Today in Texas history, well, the Siege of the Alamo was ongoing. Don't forget it. Hub City Title, Lubbock's local title company with reliable, responsive in-house title examiners. Sponsors our look at Texas history, hubcitytitle.com, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. That's right, we're in the Siege of the Alamo. Saturday was the day, as I told you Friday, that William Barrett Travis wrote the famous Liberty or Death letter. When you're in Gonzales, go see the cannon where I did the show from right in front of the Gonzales cannon that got all this thing going, the Come and Take It cannon, because that museum, an entire facility, was built for our 100 years of Texas, our centennial, as a memorial to the men from Gonzales. That's the largest group that answered Travis's letter and went and perished to fight for our liberty. This is the day, February 26, 1946, black activist Heman Sweet, accompanied by a delegation from the NAACP, met with University of Texas President Painter and other officials to request admission to UT Law School. The case came from it was Sweet versus Painter, landmark civil rights decision. You know, this was Texas ruled by the Democrats with segregation, and that case was one of several that struck down the doctrine of separate but equal, the creation of the Democratic Party, my friends, and he was able to finally register at UT Law School in 1950. It's also the date in 1871, brothers Clint and Jeff Smith, 10 and 8 years old, were captured by Lipans and Comanches while herding sheep near their family's home on Cibolo Creek between San Antonio and Bernie. First rescue attempt failed. Anyway, later on, if you hadn't read the book, there's a book about all of this stuff. The boys who were captured by the boy captives is the name of the book. Back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having big fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Sylvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at amazingly affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information, cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Today, Texas Solicitor General Aaron Nielsen appeared before the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of our Attorney General Paxton in a case known as Net Choice versus Paxton. In 2021, Texas adopted a law forbidding the largest social media platforms from censoring users' constitutionally protected free speech. This is a very heavyweight case, folks. It's quite involved. Two technology-based trade associations representing these big companies and others sued Texas to stop the law. Trade associations argue the companies have First Amendment right to discriminate against their users' content, which is private businesses. Usually you would raise your hand and say, you bet. Of course they do. Nobody has a right, except things are different. The Fifth Circuit upheld Texas law, noting the companies don't have a right to prevent citizens from engaging in public discourse. And they appealed the ruling to SCOTUS. This has been paired with the case out of Florida with a very similar law. So I want to give you the highlights from some of the very best coverage on what's before the court that you can have, and that's from Amy Howe at Howe on the Court. I think her work gets republished at SCOTUS blog as well. You'll hear other people do, but it comes straight from her blog, Howe on the Court. Net Choice versus Paxton and Moody versus Net Choice are just the second of three social media disputes the court will hear this term. The justices will consider today the constitutionality of controversial laws in Texas and Florida that would regulate how large social media companies like Facebook and X control content on their sites. Texas and Florida characterize the laws as efforts to, quote, address discrimination by social media platforms, end quote. The tech groups challenge the law and say the laws are an extraordinary assertion of government power over expression that violates the First Amendment in many ways. Now, the two state laws are not similar. There are themes, Amy points out, that are common to both. Both contain, for example, provisions that limit the choices that social media platforms can make about which user-generated content to present to the public and how. For example, the Florida law bars social media platforms from banning candidates for political office, as well as limiting the exposure of those candidates' posts. Both laws also contain provisions requiring social media platforms to provide individualized explanations to users about the platform's editorial decisions. In other words, they're going to ban you, shadow ban you, not do it. They need to tell you why. Federal judge in Tallahassee, Florida, barred Florida from enforcing most of their law. The 11th Circuit left that ruling in effect, agreeing the main provisions of the law likely violate the First Amendment. Federal judge in Austin put Texas law on hold before it could go into effect, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit disagreed. That prompted the tech groups to come to the Supreme Court, which in May 2022 temporarily blocked the law while the appeal continued. After the Fifth Circuit ultimately upheld the law, the tech groups returned to the Supreme Court, which agreed to, you know, settle the conflict between the appellate regions. The states say the social media platforms are effectively, de facto, and I don't think this can be disagreed with, the digital public square now, with enormous control over news that members of the public see and communicate. States, they say, have historically had the power to protect their residents' access to that information. The states maintain that their laws do not implicate the First Amendment at all because they simply require social media platforms to host speech. In other words, it doesn't restrict speech, it says host speech, which itself is not speech, but instead conduct that states can regulate to protect the public. In other words, their hosting of it can be regulated. Here's a key line. The business model for these platforms, the states claim, hinges on having billions of other people post their speech on the platforms, something very different from, say, a newspaper that creates its own content and publishes it. That is correct. And you may remember me years ago complaining that all the local governments and state governments were beginning to put out official statements on Facebook and Twitter. And I said that you're leading this, these companies benefit from this. And in other words, they have become, and I didn't think it was the right thing to do for government to be using them because it has created it as a de facto public square. Now, the states support their argument, according to Amy Howe at Howe and the Court, by saying they're merely regulating the platform's conduct. The states point to the Supreme Court cases holding, for example, that shopping malls must allow high school students, you know, if it's open to the public, to be in there soliciting signatures for a political petition. And there's a federal law requiring law schools to choose between providing military recruiters with access to their campuses or forfeiting federal funding. And the Supreme Court said neither of those violated the First Amendment. States assert that the First Amendment does not apply to the laws because the states are just treating the platforms like common carriers, such as telephone and telegraph companies. The state laws simply impose a basic requirement that the platforms, as common carriers, not discriminate in providing their services. But even if the laws regulate speech, the states say, they are subject to a less exacting standard of review because they don't target specific content on any specific platform. They merely ensure that speakers continue to have access to the, quote, modern public square, end quote. Finally, states insist that provisions requiring the social media platforms to provide individual explanations about their content moderation decisions are consistent with the Supreme Court's 1985 decision holding that states can require companies to disclose, quote, purely factual and uncontroversial information, end quote, about their services. Now, on the other side, the tech groups say that the First Amendment protects the right of private social media platforms rather than the government to decide what messages they will or will not disseminate. Just as Florida may not tell the New York Times what opinion pieces to publish or Fox News what interviews to air, it may not tell Facebook or YouTube what content to disseminate, they emphasize. Texas and Florida laws interfere with platform speech, they claim, because they interfere with the platform's right to exercise their editorial discretion. While the states rely on the line of cases indicating that there's no First Amendment right not to host someone else's speech, the tech groups point to a different line of cases in which the Supreme Court has recognized the First Amendment protects the right to editorial judgment. Howe goes on to say the states can't justify regulating social media platforms on the theory they're common carriers. There's no tradition of treating a private party like a social media platform that publishes speech as a common carrier. They're saying, this is where I claim, and I don't know if these lawyers were smart enough to figure it out, but from the president on down, the White House, everybody uses these for official pronouncements now. The Pentagon does it. The police do it everywhere. In allowing that, have the companies themselves allowed themselves to become similar to a modern-day equivalent of a, quote, common carrier. And the tech groups say that tell the justices that the provisions requiring social media platforms to provide individual explanations and disclosures when they exercise their direct discretion, in other words, when they cut you off, they claim that's unconstitutional because it requires them to speak and imposes a massive burden on them. And, of course, the Biden administration is supporting the big tech groups because they basically have owned these platforms, and that's where the discrimination is, you know, 9-1 or more against conservative speech, even plain, clear, rational conservative speech, and most of the leftist crap gets out there every day. And there's more cases. Biden administration will be back before the court in March in another case involving its own relationship with social media in Murphy versus Missouri. That's supposed to be argued on 18 March. The justices will consider whether and to what extent government officials can communicate with social media companies about their content moderation policies. What that's hinting at, without saying it explicitly, is that the Biden White House, we now know beyond question, was steering these companies, had people in the White House and people at the companies and everything trying to do all this. So it's really hard now. If you, and of course, these issues may not can be raised because they weren't in the original trial, but it's that one there will be raised most likely because that's the center to the trial. Is these the politicians themselves and the government, as I said earlier, this is a very simplistic explanation, but they have they've helped create, and the social media companies by their collaboration have created this becoming a public square and not just a private business. Back in a moment with a look at some Texas statewide court races, answering some questions listeners have sent.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock Leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD. From a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank. Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Make your time on the lake or pond the best it can be with an Elite Custom Boat Dock from EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Elite Custom Boat Docks, right here in the big country, is the creator of the coolest, most fun, and functional boat docks around. Imagine enjoying time with a slide, trampoline, and even diving spot on your boat or even jet ski dock. See examples of these custom creations at EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Make your time count with the best boat dock on the lake with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
Welcome, Texans, and those who wish you were. It's time for more Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your king of the Texas commentariat, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I've had quite a few questions and comments since releasing my voting recommendations that you can find at prattontexas.com about the one race in the Republican primary for the Texas Supreme Court, and then the three where I'm not with most of the conservative groups and the attorney general and his people on two of those positions. Doesn't mean I don't agree that some of these people need to go, but I think you've got to look a little more closely at who's running. Let's start, though, with the one I've had some very, I mean, our listeners are smart, and I've had some very good questions, and one was really written up in a big way and provided me with an answer to somebody that brought it up to him. That he had written up, and we have smart, smart members. And one of our listener club members, Gene, wrote in the subject, Justice, Supreme Court place for Republican, Brian Walker endorsement, blah, 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 you know. He said, Mr. Pratt, do you think the Houston Chronicle is stretching to connect John Devine's past employment? John Devine's the incumbent on the Supreme Court. With Pressler as a hit piece. Someone close to me emailed me saying I should vote for Brian Walker over John Devine and quoted the Houston Chronicle, which, of course, I mentioned a week or so ago that you better beware. I mean, the big papers are all against John Devine. The editorial boards are far leftist. There's a reason they're backing Mr. Walker. And I've also said before that this is the Houston Chronicles. This is a long-running grudge deal. They've been writing huge stories after huge story to try to destroy certain people. Devine's part of that by association. He said, Gene wrote, I attempted to investigate the Pressler case online and didn't get very far. Actually, he got a lot farther than most people, including people who have issued endorsements based on it. I didn't dig long enough to find out whether or not John Devine should have recused himself from a court case allegedly involving Paul Pressler. I don't think that was an issue. His the fellow justices of the court didn't think it needed to be done, so here's what our listener wrote I'm going to use his words because he did the looking up. I've redacted who I'm responding to protect the ignorant, he writes. Good sense of humor, too. John Devine, who is who we care about. Brian Walker's his challenger. Pratt supports John Devine. Devine worked for a law firm that H. Paul Pressler III, a.k.a. Paul Pressler, was partner of. Remember, Paul Pressler is the big former Baptist leader that's been, found out he's doing homosexual affairs and stuff. The man, he's a disaster. Houston Chronicle says John Devine is a, quote, dissenting justice of what, pray tell? Well, it was this lawsuit. Chronicle keeps article behind a paywall. We're led to presume John Devine said Pressler isn't guilty of something. Well, that's not exactly, it's a case. Anyway, Gene says, previously Pressler agreed to pay Rollins monthly payments to drop a 2004 case. Pressler and Rollins are now in a dispute. Rollins filed when he was 53, claiming Pressler assaulted Rollins when he was young. It's all about when he was younger at the law firm. Rollins, at Rollins' overbroad request, the trial court ordered Pressler to divulge all documents relating to Pressler's net worth. Pressler's attorney, which again, how does that relate to whether he sexually abused you? Pressler's attorney says Rollins' attorney did not prove this was relevant or likely to lead to admissible evidence. And Gene writes, I see a smear campaign at work. Yeah, that clown court in Austin tried to do this to me. They wanted all of my wife and I's personal financial transactions for years over a campaign deal, a filing deal that I wanted. See, it was overly broad. That's called a fishing expedition, folks. Pressler's attorney says Rollins' attorney did not prove Rollins would win based on the merit. If Rollins' attorneys see that they can't win, they want Pressler to give them the tools to smear him in the press, right? Pressler's apparently a bad, bad actor, though. Pressler's attorney's asking an appeals court to reverse the trial court's order to divulge net worth. Appeals court case is the case I read this from. I attached one page of the appeals court case to this email. There's 900 pages in the part of the appeals court case. That's right. Jared Woodfill, who's the former Harris County Republican chairman, worked for this firm as well, folks. He's now running for state rep. Says, Woodfill looks like a spectator to me to shoot from the hip. Woodfill's testimony is somewhat distant, but it's being twisted by the Houston Chronicle to lead us to believe that because John Devine works at the same law firm that Paul Pressler is a partner of, that makes John Devine scum. Does the Houston Chronicle tell us if Devine is required under the law to recuse himself? Gene, well, he wasn't required, and the court had no problem with this case they're talking about. The point is, it's pure character assassination by association. Guilt by association. Here's the little part from the case that my listener Gene put together in this piece. In 2022, a sex case abuse case against former Southern Baptist Convention leader Paul Pressler came before the Texas Supreme Court. The justices had to decide whether to allow the lawsuit to move forward. And folks, remember, they're not ruling on who's guilty or not. It's just an issue of law. And the lawsuit was, should the case be allowed to move forward, even though the statute of limitations had passed? And then quoting from this bit that Gene sent, the details of the case appeared to implicate others around Pressler. Jared Woodfill, who was law partner with Pressler, testified in a deposition that he paid young men to work out of Pressler's home despite warnings of predation. This week we learned, thanks to the Texas Tribune, that one of the dissenting justices, John Devine, worked at Woodfill and Pressler at the time the alleged abuses, but failed to recuse himself, all those years ago. They didn't rule on guilt or innocence at the Supreme Court. It was simply a decision about state law on mostly about statute of limitations, all right? Brian Walker, the challenger, has been on the Second Court of Appeals in Fort Worth. He's sort of a good guy. I don't think he's connected politically the right way, but nevertheless, it doesn't matter. Now, that's all from one of my listeners. One of our other listeners down in the big country posted a comment under the page with the recommendations and mentioned the Dulcifino. Now, that's that lawyer, former media guy that did the Mike Leach stuff and everything. I mean, he gets some things right. He's a big mouthpiece, paid and all this stuff, and does these reports and puts them out, out of Houston, and gets a lot of attention. But you have to, even sometimes when we've agreed with him, you have to always keep in mind it's no different than Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push or Al Sharpton or somebody else having their guy go out and do a report. Anyway, this person wrote, the Dulcifino report on John Devine's disturbing. Read your comments about that. Still seems like an ethical issue on the part of Devine and his wife. Well, the whole issue being pushed down there is that John Devine, and by the way, the reason they're pushing is that John Devine's a conservative and reliable and has a record of such. And maybe in some time in the future, we'll find out he knew everything that was going on with Pressler at the law firm. And then at that point, people will scream for him to resign. But at this point, we have no evidence whatsoever. And I wrote back, I said, as to define, Dulcifino and others, mainly the Houston Chronicle, rest most everything on guilt by association because they worked at the same law firm. All I will say is that I hope a friend, associate, or family member of any of you all doesn't come under indictment for terrible behavior, because many people around you will swear there's no way you didn't know. They will. People you thought were your friends, people at church, well, they had to have known. No, you didn't have to know. I once had a very close business associate, and I don't want to say too much because I don't want to implicate somebody on the radio, but after it, we were together all the time. And I never knew certain behavior was going on relating to stalking sexual harassment of people in the office. I was very friendly with many of these people and outside of work as well, socially. None of them ever hinted at such, told me of such, even when it came up in the 90s when we had to do the sexual harassment training. Not a one ever hinted any of this was happening. I didn't learn of it until several years after I'd parted ways with the firm. And one of the employees called me to have lunch because she was going to move to another state and get married. We were friends for many years, and we had not talked in a while. And she took me to lunch, and she told me about what had gone on. She wasn't getting mad at him or anything. She's just telling me stuff that had gone on. I was gobsmacked. I had no idea, and yet I was there all the time, around these people all the time. I don't know if John Devine enabled the disgraced Pressler or not in the law firm, but I do know this stuff can go on all around you and not be known. And it's absolute BS when people claim, well, they should have known. People who are doing nefarious things tend to have really good ways of keeping it secret. And people who don't think like that and engage in those things don't even think about those things. Without real evidence, this smear through guilt by association is just disgusting against John Devine. I didn't have time to get to the other court races. Maybe tomorrow. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.